of the king. I would dance, I would sing. It could be heavenly. Turn the music loud. Lift my voice and shout.
Are you in Ephesians chapter 2 yet? I know I didn't tell you that, but I figured you may have already turned there. So I don't know how many more weeks we're going to be on this. I know where the end of this particular message is. There's an area that I might go into further on covenant relationships. I think this is about the fifth week, maybe sixth week that we've been in this area. I was cleaning up some of the sermons from the past, and I think I pulled about five or six of them of covenant relationships in there. So, but we started this series talking about excellence in covenant. And again, I feel like so often, have you ever thought about this, like maybe with your spouse or whatever? And now I get it. But have you ever like, well, I'm just going to be around you, so I don't need to dress up. I don't need to do this. I don't need to do that because I'm just going to be around you. And again, I'm not saying you have to dress in a tuxedo when you go out to the grocery store with your wife or whatever, or formal gown, men. But sometimes we save our worst effort for the people closest to us because they're stuck with us. They're there. Amen. Everybody's going, no. Some of you, I ain't saying a thing. I plead the fifth. I'm not going to incriminate myself. But we can't. And when the closer we get to one another in the body of Christ, we can really start doing the same thing there, is that we reserve the worst that we do for those that are closest to us. In other words, I go to work, and I'll give my effort. But when it comes to the things of God or doing things of the church, Pastor Thad will understand. And I've always told you, Pastor Thad does understand. He knows you're busy. But that's not... Amen. We'll get into that today. But excellence is just one of those areas that I think that we cannot overemphasize. I don't think we can emphasize it enough, that how important it is in covenant relationship. If, you know, I always like to refer to our two tribes, because that comes from the very first sermon we've ever preached in covenant relationship, is we got the two tribes, we've got the farming tribe, we've got the warring tribe. The warring tribe has been stealing the produce from the farming tribe, and which means they're losing a lot in the getting and going, and they're losing a lot because they can never keep what they have. And so they come into a covenant relationship and they say, listen, none of us are happy in this thing because you've got to steal in order to survive because you don't know how to grow crops. And we've got to take half of our labor force just to try to protect, and we're not warring people. So let's come into a covenant, and you protect us from all the other tribes, so that if other tribes come and attack us, we can put our full labor force into the ground and to toil it and to have things grow, and then we will give you half of everything we have produce because we'll be able to do more. And so they go into that agreement. Well, the warring tribe comes over, and they have several parts of their protective duty, who are kind of given half an effort. And you know, they show up for work, but they're kind of like, it's kind of boring standing here by myself. I don't see nobody. I'm going to go over here to this post and talk to this guy for a while, and I'll come back. You know, what's going to happen in an hour, right? And they go over and they start chit-chatting and all kinds of stuff. And they come back and they go, I wonder why all these trees are down and why all this rubbish. And then they realize that their little open gap, because they weren't, because they let their hair down for a moment, was the gap that they came in and stole from. Their lack of excellence in doing their job broke that covenant. And it could actually destroy both the whole relationship. So my point simply is this, is that I know we haven't thought about it, we haven't taught on it a lot, but the Holy Spirit's made it very clear to us that if we're going to do things inside of this relationship that we have together in a body of believers, in the body of Christ, we got to do things to the best of our abilities. Not just that we tried, but we do it to the best. The second thing that we went into, and we talked about this, just really 1 week, but it's really more than a 1 week type thing, but what was the area of the body of Christ? That covenant, the thing that we have that God does not, is a body. And He needs the body in order to operate on planet Earth. And so we gathered together are the body of Christ. He's the head, we're the body, and we function. I was thinking about it today, and I was thinking earlier this week that if you have a part of your body that is diseased, now what will they do? Now they have a couple of options. They can treat it. They can treat it through maybe antibiotics or just some other way, maybe radiation of some sort or some kind of, they can treat it, but it is singled out to be taken care of. Because it cannot function if it's diseased, if there's something wrong with it. They may remove it. There's certain parts of your body, the appendix and the gallbladder and stuff like that, they'll just replace. They'll just remove it all together, and then other parts of your body will make up for whatever the problem was. They'll just remove it. Because, now again, why do they remove it? Because if it stays in there, it's going to start affecting other parts of the body. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're replaced. You know, if a part of the body, I was thinking in terms the valve of a heart, if that goes bad, they'll replace, they'll put a pig valve in there, or they'll do something like that, right? Because they'll replace that because, again, if that's not taken care of, it'll affect the rest of the body. Now, again, why do they remove it? Why do they treat it? Why do they do that? Is it because they're mad at that part? No, it's because there's something wrong with that part, and if it's not taken care of, the rest of the body will die with it. Now, when you look at that and you understand that, beloved, when you are not operating the way you need to operate in the body of Christ, God's not wanting to embarrass you or to point you out or to do anything. His best bet would be to get rid of the disease by keeping you in there and helping you through it. His best bet. Because again, I think everybody would agree, even nurses that are here, that the best bet would be to keep the one organ that you currently have in your body working the way it's, but just get it working right. It's the best bet. But if it's not, then removing it or replacing it is an option. And there's a reason God gave us the picture of the body for the local church and for His gathering is because, beloved, we need to all be doing our parts. And if we're not doing our parts, then it is a danger to the body as a whole. Everyone is in trouble. Amen. So we try to correct it. We try to, you know, pastor tries to correct it, and pastor tries to come up to you and say, hey, you need to watch this, or you need to just guard this, or whatever. You don't get mad at the pastor. How dare you try to get rid of the thing that's wrong? Right, all right. Amen. Ephesians, are you in Ephesians 2 yet? All right. Verse 10. For we are His workmanship, and here's where we've been since last week. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the commonwealth, the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in this world. We weren't a part of what God had for us. But now in Christ Jesus, ye were sometimes afar off or made nigh by the blood covenant of Christ. So we are a part of who He is because of the covenants that we have that was shed in His blood. Covenant is that intimate, intricate, and binding relationship between two or more people that unites their strengths in order to eliminate their weaknesses. God's desire is that the body be as effective as the body can be And again, the effectiveness of the body has everything in the world to do with all the parts being healthy and in their spot and doing their thing. Amen. And so we've been, again, on the week of prayer, tonight I'm preaching another message that the Lord gave me on the week of prayer. I was searching for what to share with you, and I just felt like He moved me back to that area, and then the message came, and I was like, oh, that's awesome. But on the week of prayer, I was praying about the unity, the oneness of the body, and the Lord, just in the simplicity of me sitting over there listening to Him, gave me four keys. I could say rules or whatever, but four keys, four guidelines, for covenant relationships, to walk in covenant relationships. A couple years ago, I taught based off of a set of rules that Jack Shoup taught, on six rules. I went back and referred to those a little bit in my, because I realized there's a couple of these that kind of feed into a few of the things. Several of his were like, there was a couple of like, don't walk in a fence and don't do that. You know, there were things on that order, and those are all good. The spirit of isolation, identify that. There's a lot, and again, those would be good to go over again at some point. But these were just four things the Holy Spirit just pointed out to me that are detrimental in covenant relationships. Now, if I can throw this out at you a little bit, because I was sharing with somebody a part of our message that I've preached over the last couple of weeks. I forget which one. And instead of sitting there trying to say, I was teaching on covenant relationships, because most people are going, okay, let's stop there. What are you mean talking about with covenant relationships? I just talked about, I was talking about relationships within the body of believers, and that they understood. When we understand that when God places us in here, and when we connect in a place like this, that God brings us into a covenant, and inside that covenant, there are rules and there are things that helps us to blend together and to operate as one. And when we act outside of those rules or those guidelines, instead of fitting like this, we began causing the distance, and we're no longer meshing, we're now conflicting with one another, and we're not being as effective for what God wants us to do. And there's a lot of churches, their effectiveness, now again, I don't have anything else other than just my hands doing this, their effectiveness is being like this. And they can't figure out why they're not being effective for the kingdom of God, but they keep butting heads. They keep going up against one another. Oh, goodness gracious. Let me go to Psalm 23 real quick. That scripture just came up. Got to make sure I can find it here. I'm pretty sure I'm going to use it in this. It says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and then He leadeth me, but lie down and restore my. I'm pretty sure it's that one there, because I'm seeing this picture of, and we know sheep do this, especially the big male sheep. When they get mad at one another, they run and they want to ram their heads together and get agitated at one another, and you're in my area, you know, they'll do that. And that's detrimental to the flock. It's going to hurt the flock, it's going to hurt the sheep. And again, that's what I see when I'm doing this, that here is that churches keep butting heads, they keep doing things that are keeping them from meshing and operating as one that makes them more effective. I can use this here. We got two of the guys here, but the last basketball game, the Bailey boys and Ryan have joined a bunch of the guys from Grace Maine and a couple other odd ones. Okay. And then they were playing in a basketball league, and it was interesting to watch because basically we had Ryan that's had the basketball experience and everybody else liked to play basketball, but they really hadn't kind of just been on a organized team. So it was really interesting watching people improve. And you did. You saw some of them really starting to understand aspects or where I needed to be. But for the most part throughout the season, if you could just get everybody to do what they did the best, you were effective. Well, the last game, I heard it. I was reminded of it because I was doing the stats for it for the guys. In the last game, there was at least one. I don't think there was more than that, but at least one, maybe two, that were not in on this team. They wanted their points, they wanted their shots, they wanted their recognition, and so they were doing things. We're seeing things that were just that. I mean, obviously, and again, we weren't a perfect team by any stretch of the imagination, but we hadn't done all year long. But it's because there's one or two of them that really wanted their points, really wanted their recognition, really wanted to, and I just watching this, I'm like, this is not a familiar team to me. We went over there every week because I'd videotape it for the guys so they could see it all, whatever. But I didn't look familiar to me, and I kept thinking, we're playing like five individuals instead of like one. Again, a slap will insult you, a fist will hurt you. And we're playing like this. I kept thinking, we're five individuals out there. We need to be playing where we're all thinking and moving the same so that we can become more effective. And that's exactly what the body of Christ will do is that, well, I need to be noticed. Well, nobody came and visited me. Well, nobody did this. Well, I am the only one that ever does this. And we're doing this instead of operating as one and going, you know what? I may be the only one that does this. But I'm going to do it to my best. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. And again, the thing that I still haven't gotten to my points yet here, but the point I'm bringing is that there are things that keep us like this as a body of Christ than like this. Now just real quick, I'll just throw this out here. The best three at working in their positions in the league or on our team were the three from this church. I'll just put that straight out there just in case anybody's wondering. So I'm not picking on you guys at all. I wouldn't have said it if it was, and you guys know the story. But there are things that keep us like this instead of keeping us meshed together. And that's what these rules just will help us with. And again, it's like we said, it's the little things. It's the little things that we may not think of. Now, last week we started with the area, the first one, and it was really look inside yourself. Don't look inside of others. In other words, don't be busy judging the heart of other people and what they're, what they think, what they're, how they're, you know, why they did what they do, why they don't do what they do. You know, you can look at somebody and go, well, they don't clean the toilets, so they must not love the church as much as I love the church. Well, that's not a fair assessment. Again, they may never go to the bathroom while they're at church. I'll come in sometimes with on a day, and that's one of the reasons why I put that little dry erase board on the refrigerator. Is because there's times where I don't deal a lot with trash bags or where I know I don't really necessarily know all the times where certain things are running low, and so if let's say John and Beulah, who do take care of garbage and they do take care of cleaning, they just stood around going, Pastor doesn't even think the bathrooms are worth being clean because he won't buy any garbage bags or he won't buy any of this. They're assuming something. They're looking in me instead of saying, "Well, what about me?" You know, and I got to do what I got to do. But we can start doing that, and it will break apart our relationships because we're assuming things on people that may not be there. And again, they may not, I don't necessarily look under the sinks just to say, hey, what do I need to buy this week? That's why I have it up there. I don't use the bathrooms on Sundays and Wednesdays. I use it during the week, obviously. I don't use it on Sundays. So I wouldn't know if the, if there was something out of place on a Sunday or not. I don't go in the women's bathroom. So if the women's bathroom's dirty, I don't know. So assuming I don't care about women because the women's bathroom's dirty is, would be, you follow me on that. But you can see how when we start trying to judge people and judge their hearts and judge the way they see things, it becomes very detrimental to covenant. Because again, you may never have thought it in your life, but the second that first thought comes and you give space to that first thought, man, that second thought comes real quick. And the third thought even quicker. You're like, Pastor Thad doesn't care about the women of the church, otherwise this bathroom wouldn't be dirty. How dare him? He just doesn't think of us, and he doesn't think about that. And on top of that, if he really cared about us, and all of a sudden you got a point two to your sermon. And then a point three comes. And then a point four comes. And then pretty soon you got to write a book about what's wrong with Pastor Thad and his heart for the women of this church. And now you got this, now you see Pastor Thad coming up and say, good morning. And you're like, yeah, would be for you because your bathroom's clean. You follow me? It's a progression. And you may think, it doesn't happen that easy. It really does. Sometimes we fool ourselves, but it really does. It happens suddenly, it happens quickly. So when it comes down to, can I go back to something here? Because I was talking about the budding of the heads, and he maketh lies down green pastures. Because that word where he anointeth my head with oil, there's two areas of that, he anointeth my head with oil. First of all, it was to keep the bugs away. But the second one is when those sheep would come and they do that, if they had oil on their heads, the blows would not be forced. They would slide off of each other. So it would lessen the effect of the blow. That was where I was. So my point is that God does not want us button heads. He wants us operating as one. And so therefore we must look in ourselves. The Bible says time and time again, examine yourselves, prove your own work. Let a man examine himself. Just time and time. Romans says, don't criticize and blame other people or pass judgment on other people. Galatians says, if you bite and devour one another. It is a big part of the scriptures where we've got to examine ourselves. What are we to think about somebody who didn't clean the bathrooms? Honestly, your answer should be, well, why didn't I clean them? Doing a little Bobby Jean Merck spiritual thing here. Examine your heart why you didn't do it. Well, I don't get paid. Well, let's go through scripture here. Pastor Thad's not trying to get out of anything. If I see a toilet dirty, if I see something out of place, I put it in place. But let's go to scripture here and find me the spot in there where it says the pastor's job is to clean the church, to clean stuff. And again, I'm not saying I'm not going to do it. Don't go down that road because that you're just doing this. My point is that we all, this is all of our responsibilities. And we all need to be after this. Look inside of you, not about what everybody else did wrong. Amen. A couple weeks ago, I got really ticked off at our worship band. And I forget what the song was. We were doing a song. I don't think we'd done this song in a while or something like that. And I did something like this. And because I was wanting to do the course again. And I did this. And I started singing it, and they all did a key change. And I was like, I don't want to do the key change yet. Well, you know what the key change is. The key change is this. How dare you do the key change? I was like, I can't believe they did that. But I thought maybe we went back to there. So then I was ready for the key change, and I went like this. And I started going up, and nobody came with me. And I'm standing up here, and I'm trying to really focus in. And here's my problem. What's wrong with them? Do they not care about the anointing? Do they not care about what's going on? Do they not care about what we're doing up here? That they're doing their own thing, that they're not paying attention to how things are going? And I was going sideways. And Jessica's just sitting back there grinning from one ear to another ear. She wasn't mad at me. She wasn't, and I was like, what is wrong with her? Again, what's my problem? I'm looking out. I'm trying to discern their hearts. What's going on with them? And then I finally worked my way back to the middle of the stage, and I looked down, and I realized there's only two verses. There's the verse in the chorus, and then the key change. So when I went three, the only place that could have been three was the key change. Now, if they would have been thinking what I was thinking, they'd have known it wasn't, but silly people, they couldn't read my mind. And I'm sitting up here going, oh, Lord, it was my fault. if I would have been examining myself, did I do something wrong? But I was just like, you guys are just being argumentative today. Now, I'm not saying it's never been their fault. And I'm not saying, but again, that picture came to my mind of me sitting there going, what's wrong with them? There's nothing wrong with them. But when I started looking out, all it was doing to the worship was this. And when I finally figured it out, I was like, sorry, we finished strong. But during that time, you follow me on this. It's the way we got to make sure we're guarding ourselves from that. Now, number two is, I know you're going to think this sounds so much different, because we look in ourselves, we don't look in others. We're not judging their heart, we're looking in our hearts. But we look, number two, we look to others, not to ourselves. In other words, quit asking, what about me? What about my needs? Why am I not being taken care of? That's the wrong words to think. We've got to be much more quick to say, what can I do for someone else? What can I do for another person? And see, this is a major problem inside of Covenant when we start focusing more on me and I and not on others. Again, when I've learned to do any kind of premarital counseling, that's the only thing, especially if there's limited time on counseling, that's the only thing that I will actually get into in there, is I'll have them fill out one questionnaire. Why do you want to get married to that person? Give me 10 reasons you want to get married to that person. Because, again, I told you the story that I did it with this one couple that nobody else was wanting to marry them, And Jessica said, I think my husband will do it. And the lady was like, all right, when can we do it? And she said, well, I'm sure they want to talk to them a little bit first. And so she goes, okay, when do you? And so I gave Jessica that one simple worksheet. I gave it to Jessica, said, have her give this, have them bring it when they got there. So they came, they sat down, and I started reading their reasonings. She cooks for me every time I get home from work. She's pretty. I like when she does this for me. I like when she does that for me. I like when she does this for me. And her list was the same thing. Everything about what they do for me. Me, 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 me. And it was even more like obvious than that. And I remember telling Jessica afterwards, they don't need to be getting married. They are not in this thing in the right place. And I think 2 days later, he cheated on her and their marriage. They didn't get married. But that brought it out to me so quick, is that if all you're doing is coming into a covenant relationship for what happened, what's going on with you. People go into a marriage, they want to go into a marriage because I'm lonely. Has anybody in this room ever, and you don't have to raise your hand, ever been in a marriage and been lonely inside of a marriage? Where your spouse may be right next to you, but they're not paying any attention. There's no communication there. See, marriage isn't the answer to that. People will want to get into a marriage because I'm so lonely. I don't want to be by myself. And again, it becomes selfish reasons why they're wanting to get into marriage. And then they get into marriage and they've never worked on blessing others, taking care of others, helping others. And beloved, your number one reason for getting married needs to be, I love them so much, I want to spend my life making their life better. Because that's what covenant is. It's the joining together, making the other person's life better. If everyone is focused on the other person, then everyone's needs are getting met. Now I want to throw this in here real quick here. I'm not, and I wrote this down for obvious reasons, but I'm not just talking about the underprivileged. You can get in a church setting where everything that is ever done, that people ever do, you know, people are like, how can we help this family or this family or this family? And then you got families that kind of are, maybe the families that are always are helping everybody else are the families that really need help, but they're aimed right. So I'm not just talking about just underprivileged situations. Ryan's freshman year, he had a teammate, and his mom had cancer, fourth stage cancer, and there was one game that year where everything the whole day was to honor him and his mom. They had him come out. They presented him with something. They had his mom come out, presented her with something. And again, it was fine. That wasn't an issue because it was fine. But I remember looking at Jessica and going, I don't ever want Ryan to get noticed by this team. If this is what it takes to get noticed. That you have to be going through the pit of the barrel in order to get noticed. And so we need to do a better job of not just looking for people, looking at people that may be going through the rough times. Yeah, we do. Bear ye one another's burdens. Yes, we do. Especially those we give and we give to those, especially those that are of the household of faith. Yes, we do that. I'm not arguing that. But taking care of each and every one of us. We got to do a better job of doing that because we got to look to others, everyone. Who do you focus on to compliment when you come into a service? Is it just certain people that you may have a special bond with? Or are you sharing that love of God with everybody? Notice this. And then I'm just maybe late to the party, but I saw these two words relatively close to each other and I thought, hold it. Those are almost the same words, but they mean completely different. Unite and untie. U-N-I-T-E, U-N-T-I-E. Same letters, the only difference is the I. is shifted. When your eye gets out of place, that's when you go from uniting things to untying things. Amen? I may be late to the party, but that struck me really big. It's just the eye. And again, you can say, well, the eye has to be in the center of the eye. That doesn't, if the eye's out of place, it changes it from a unite to untie. And your eye needs to be in the right spot to operate in covenant. Let's look at some stuff here. I'm going to pull out my trusty phone here. This is a spot that I probably should have a Bible, but I don't want to keep changing. Get ready to jump here, okay? Well, I'm just going to use John's trusty thumb here. John 13:14. As soon as you get it, John, you pop it up there and we'll read it. Scripture's clear that we got to take care of one another. It says, If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. So, again, a lot of the disciples were, what about me? What about me? What about, can I sit at your throne? Can I do this? And he's saying, no, you need to be busy serving and washing one another's feet. Go to verse 44, John 13, 44. No, it's 38. Well, you got the wrong Bible. I just wrote it down wrong then. Okay, well, let's go to Romans 12:10. It's fine. That's fine. There's plenty of them here. I just wrote it down wrong. Be kindly affectionate to one another. Doesn't say make sure everybody's kindly affectionate to you. It says be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Preferring, honoring, affection, one to another. Love on each other. Be thoughtful towards one another. Amen? Romans 15, 14. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. In other words, think about. It can also mean warn. It can also it can have those pictures of it. But it means admonish. Think about. Just kind of look over. Be a overseer of them. I always think about when Kevin Bertrand was first, he was my youth sponsor when I was a youth pastor over in Lexington, and he took his job. He always did take that job seriously. And whenever we'd be in the same building together, he would move from wherever he was and sit right behind me because he wanted to make sure no one messed with Pastor Thad. And there was one time we went over to Frankfurt, and he was on one side, and the only spot they had saved for us was up to the left side. We went over to the left side. We sat there. I looked over. I saw him. I waved. A few minutes later, we were sitting there. I kind of just glanced over, and he was gone. I don't know where he went. Went to the bathroom. But him and Annabelle were gone. And then a few minutes later, we turned around to shake hands. I turned around. He was right behind me. He kicked somebody out of their seat just so he could sit right behind me. But admonish, watch over, look, take care of, help one another. Galatians 5, verse 13. It's amazing. These are just some. These are just where I did a quick word study where it says one another. If it said one to another per se, it may not have got on there. But Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. Did I say 5:13 first? 5:13, you're right. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love, serve. Look what you can do for others. What can you do for others? How many of you, you don't have to raise your hand, when you walked in this place, when you pulled out of your driveway at home and you were on your way here, were thinking, I wonder what I can do for someone else today when I get to church. What can I do to make someone else's life better at church today? That needs to be a part of who we are, looking to help other people. I always did this, and I did a lot more. I had a lot more success with Reese than I ever did with Anna Lee. But when Reese was a baby, of course, everybody knows Pastor Thad and Reese were a thing. But at that time, that had to have been Pastor Brandon was here. I don't think it was Pastor Kevin. But we'd often go out afterwards because I'd feed them whenever they came over. And we'd go out to Buffalo Wild Wings and Harmony and Todd would often come with us and they'd have Reese, and you know, sometimes babies don't cooperate. And I always thought, you know, because I did this one with our kids, but I always thought, I bet you Todd and Harmony are enjoying just talking with everybody and just and laughing and goofing off. And so very often, if Reese was getting kind of wound up, I'd take him, I'd pick him up, I'd walk outside with him, I'd walk around for him. And it wasn't that I was looking for stuff to do. It's just I was thinking, first of all, I love the kid. Second of all, the kid likes me. So thirdly, I want to help them out so they can just enjoy their time with. Now again, that doesn't make me a hero. But if you want to call me one, no, that doesn't make me a hero. It's just simply that it's a simple thing that we can do to look and to watch and say, hey, how can I help somebody else today? And we all that needs to serve one another. Go to Galatians 6 verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens. We used that scripture this tonight. And so fulfill the law of Christ. In other words, if someone's hurting, you get right down there and help them lift it up. Amen. We don't just sit there and watch them do it. Wonder what they're going to do. Wonder if they're going to make it. They will make it because you're going to go down there and bear it with them. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Now again, forbearing simply means, it really is that same long suffering, where we suffer long, we put up with it a long time, right? And that's what forbearing is that it means to put up with, is that we stick with it. Someone else is kind of missing the mark, but we want this thing to work. We want them to live for Christ. We want them to come out on the other side of this thing. So we stick with them. We don't just give up on them because they messed up once, twice, three times, four times, five times, six times. How many of us have messed up one time, two times, three times, four times? But see, what's our mentality? I didn't mean to. I messed up, but I didn't mean to. It was, situations were just right. Well, maybe that's what there was with them. But what we're doing is we're reading into them something that we wouldn't read into ourselves. Amen. So forbear. How about verse 32? I think there's 4:32. There's got to be a 32 in this one. Ephesians 4:32. If I didn't give the right address, and be ye kind one to another. Okay, that's point number one. Be kind. Don't think it's some badge of honor that you're the one that gets people riled up and gets, you know, and cleans their clock, figuratively speaking. Don't think it's some badge of honor, some spiritual. There's nothing spiritual about it. Be kind. It's a fruit of the Spirit. If you are ornery and mean, you can say, well, I'm just being real. You're being real carnal, you're being really fleshly, and it's the work of the flesh, not the fruit of the Spirit. So be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Now that one How often do we forgive one another? Every day? Is it 7 times 70? Every day? Refreshing? Even as for Christ's sake. And that, we're not going to get into that. But again, that's the point, is that we're not holding things against people. We're forgiving them. That's covenant. It's, again, it's about them, not about us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. It says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. Now again, every one of these say that our focus has got to be the other. That I'm the one, you're the other, and I've got to edify you. I've got to build you up. I've got to strengthen you. All right, several of you said, yeah, I came here today thinking what I could do for someone else. Let me ask you this. What have you done today since you walked in here that edified someone, that said something to someone, that encouraged them? Because we need to do that. We need to be actively building each other up. Hebrews 3:13. One more here. See, I did a quick word study on what about me in the Bible. What about me? And never once does it show up. It shows up in one scripture, but the words aren't even together. It's a big long scripture and the words aren't even together. Because our focus cannot be ourselves. Our focus cannot be, why are things not happening for me? My favorite quote, I have two favorite quotes. If you look on my Facebook page, I have two favorite quotes. My first favorite quote is my friend has a trophy wife, but apparently it wasn't first place. Because I just think that one's funny. I just think that's funny. My second favorite quote is that you can have anything in life that you want as long as you help enough other people get what they want. And that's so often we're trying to get what we want. We get ultra selfish and I want. Why aren't you helping me get what I want? You are inward. Upward, outward, onward. Remember, that's our motto here. And upward, out. Nothing is about inward. And if we're just looking at, what about me? What about my ministry? What about this? Why doesn't anybody? No, you're wrong. You're wrong. And you are in a dangerous place of hurting covenant relationships and hurting the body. But notice here it says, but exhort one another daily. Oh, I like that. I like it. It gives us a time period in which to. I exhorted someone last month. Leave me alone. Exhort, encourage, lift up one another on a daily basis. I can give you a little homework right here. Outside, do it in your family too. But outside of your family, every day this week, find at least two people, especially those of the household of faith, but I'll let you do other people too. But find two people that you're exhorting and that you're lifting up. Ask the Lord, Lord, give me wisdom on who I need to do. And you know what? I've found that during my days, often, that I'll be there and I'll just start thinking maybe about Jessica or someone in the, you know, I was thinking about Jessica Beecraft, or I'll maybe Pastor Lisa, or she's at school, or someone. I've done it several times with Harmony, where I'll just start thinking and praying, and I'll think, text them. Say, how's your day going? You know, have a great one or whatever. Just a matter of encouraging them, letting them know their pastor's thinking about them, just lifting them up and just doing something. Listen, our communications now has made it so easy. If you still got excuses for not sharing, edifying somebody, they're just excuses. Because there's 100 different ways to do it. But that's your homework. Two people a day. So by the end of the week, by next Sunday, you'll have 12 people. 12 different people. And again, I kind of have this feeling that once you start on it, you're going to go, let me throw an extra one in there. 12 people by next week. And don't do them all next Saturday. No. Covenant wouldn't lie. Never once does the Bible say, but what about me? It always is a focus on the other. Jesus did not say, for God so loved himself that he wanted a bigger kingdom. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. My favorite thing, one of the favorite things that God showed me recently, I put it up on the board during our missions offering. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave. Covenant says, for we so love our God that we give. And that's got to be our focus, that we are givers, that we give to others. When we find covenant relationships burdensome, when we get into the mindsets of I need to get noticed, hey, everybody, look how busy I am. Are you comparing ourselves to others and wondering why nobody is honoring you? Make no mistake about it. That's a place the enemy can use and start deteriorating the body of Christ. Amen. I got two more points. I thought I was going to get through them. But again, our point is the second that you get inward focused, you become, let me say it like this, you become in danger of becoming a diseased part, body part. Just like a liver that's got something going on wrong with it. They either need to give you some antibiotics or get you something to clean it out and to get it working and functioning properly again, or it's not going to be very long before you're going to have to be removed or replaced. Because it's not going to be pleasant for anybody to be around that. And so guard yourself. Look in you. Look towards others. But whatever you do, take care of, stay in covenant relationships. Be that effective body part that's doing its job. Amen. Let's stand together. I have two more, and they're equally as fun. Hallelujah. Again, sometimes you get into these things and you think, Pastor Ted, got a problem? You know, got a problem with me? No, I don't. You know, you sit there and you begin asking the Lord, Lord, pull up our body of believers as one. Make us as one. Make us function better as one. Let us operate just in love and together. And as you begin asking God to do that, guess what? He's going to reveal some stuff to you. And again, he didn't give me any faces that came with these. I didn't preach point one because of one person and point two because of another person. That's not what it is at all. He just said, these are the areas that you guys need to watch for. Because apparently, they may be areas that have reared their ugly head in our body. And again, I don't know anybody that has. I'm just simply telling you that if you don't watch for it, then it will take over. I don't think they call it on the inside of the body. On the outside of the body, they'll call it gangrene, right? When the infection gets so bad, they do it on the inside too, where it just becomes useless. And how do you can like green, you can wear green, just don't be gangrene. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord, we love you. I do. I would not want to do anything else than to be right in the will of God. And Lord, like you shared and I shared earlier in the service, is we may be in a season at a time where it feels like there's not a whole lot going on, but there's always something going on. You're always working together for our good. They're working. And so often when we're standing in that kind of season, we can start getting inward focused, where we're trying to figure out, but what about me? Why aren't people focusing on me? Why aren't they helping me? Why aren't they doing this? Why aren't they doing that? And all it's doing is it's making ourselves susceptible to become a diseased organ, to be a diseased body part. And so, Father, I pray that today that you will just allow us honestly and openly to look at ourselves, to see ourselves the way you see us. And if one of these couple things that we've shared today is an area that we need to get cleaned up, I mean, I'm talking all the way back to when I started talking about excellence, and then through what we talked about looking in, or look, if it's an area that we need to get taken care of, Father, for the sake of the body, Lord, let us do what we need to do, hear what we need to hear, operate how we need to operate. But let us, Father, fall in love more with one another than ever before. I love you. I love you. In Jesus' name. I was just thinking about when my dad was at a church that he had more problems than he knew what to do with. And he would start every morning in prayer with a prayer that said, Lord, help me to love my people more than I've ever loved them. Increase my love for them. Help me to want to work for them. You know, and he just went in. And then his second part was always, and help them to love me more than they've ever loved me before. And he'd do this morning after morning after morning after morning after morning. And finally one morning he said, Lord, help me to love my people more than I've loved ever loved them in the past. No matter what's gone against me, whatever's been against, help me to love them more than I've ever loved them before. And Lord, and as soon as he said that, he said, stop. Dad, stop. He said, the rest of it's not your business. Your business is to love them more than you've ever loved them before. And often we'll sit there and say, Lord, help this person get their act together. Help this person do this. And we can pray for people to love on them and stuff like that. But we need to be more, Lord, help me to love that person. If there's somebody in your life that's messing up, that's going sideways on a regular basis, and you're sitting there sharing all your secrets with God, which they're not secrets, right? Lord, they keep doing this, and they keep doing this, and it gets frustrating. That ain't getting nothing done. But say, Lord, let me love that person in a way that brings them into the kingdom. Let me love them. And again, it'll change the way you view that person, and that's the kind of prayer that God can answer.